Hi, welcome to Danny Brough Show with me, Danny Brough from MMA UK. It's episode number 4. I have got Adam Shelley on, who is a multiple world champion in Taekwondo. He's moved over to the MMA world and he's going pro. Unfortunately, his first debut pro fight's obviously been postponed with everything that's going on, but we talk about that, we talk about a bit of his background, what he's looking forward to in the future, and really just a good general chat with him. Hope you enjoy the show. Boom, smashed it. Hi, welcome to Danny Brough Show with me, Danny Brough from MMA UK. It's episode number 4. I'm joined with Adam Shelley. Adam, how you doing, mate? You okay?
Not bad, Danny. All good, yeah. This is a good little idea to break up some of the time and just sitting at home all day. So, good to be on.
Crazy times, man. Absolutely crazy. I take it, obviously, your gym's closed now.
Yeah, everything's done over here, man. They're predicting lockdown in the next couple of days. So, I'm sort of just doing what I'm told now, self-isolating, trying to just do the right thing, you know.
Yeah, what gym is it you're at?
So I'm with Team KF, with the lads Chris Fields, Tom King there leading the way. All the lads, like some of the Ian Gary and James Webb there with Cage Warriors, bunch of the amateur boys as well. So everyone just has a pain, really, just not being able to train and stuff like that. I think everyone's just doing bits and pieces like running and doing what they can, try to stay fit. That's what I'm doing anyway. And hopefully it blows over soon enough and we'll be back to business, you know.
Yeah, I think you might be moving up a weight when it's all over.
Oh, stop. Yeah, I actually saw Darren Till had something up there the other day. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, it was just a big list of all the food he's eating. And, like, it was a picture of him, like, with a little belly, like, you know, and just, but he's just doing the dog on it. Like, I'm the same here. It's just food in the gaff all day, just eating whatever I want.
Yeah. Because like, I saw you at Budo. When was that? That must have been.
That's right. That was December. 7th of December, yeah.
Yeah, and you had a nasty eye poke. We won't ever forget that, mate, because you shoved it right in my face.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was weird. I actually ended up having a fractured eye socket off that.
Joking.
Yeah, I swear to God. So, like, when I got home then on the Sunday, I got home, and the next day, my eye was way worse than what it was when I was talking to you. Yeah. I'll send you a picture actually after this. And then, so my mum and dad were like, look, just go in and get checked. So I went into the Mater Hospital that's here in Dublin. And they were like, yeah, no, we're just going to x-ray it and stuff like that. Because what they were saying, so I was explaining that when I blew my nose, I had a little bit of blood in my nose after the fight. Yeah. And when I blew my nose, that's when it puffed out. Like that's when it went really big. And they were like, that shouldn't happen if there's like no break. Like I didn't know either. So they did an x-ray and turns out the floor of my orbital bone, so sort of like just here, was fractured, like, you know. So I was out of action for a little while with that. I was able to keep like doing all my own training, like running weights, hitting pads and stuff. I just couldn't take contact for, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks. So about the end of January, I got back into things.
Flipping it. But, well, obviously, hopefully, it's all right now then.
Yeah, it's fresh. Vision and all is good now, so can't complain. Training has actually been going great up to this coronavirus thing. And even still, it's actually going not too bad, like, because of loads of time, like, just getting all my sessions in, still getting 2 a day, still feeling fit. So hopefully once it blows over, I'll be good to fight straight away.
Yeah, and obviously, I think everyone knows now, you're going, taking the step up, going pro.
That's the one, yeah, going pro now. I've got the nod off the boss man, Chris, so that's the main thing. Actually, in that fight, the one you were talking about there in Budo in December, so we're going into the last round, going into the fifth round. Chris said, you win this round and you're a pro fighter. Like, you know, he was going to push me on then. And I stopped him then in the fifth round. So that was sort of a little bit of motivation I needed. Nice. So got the stoppage. And then, so the plan was, once my eye healed up, Chris was just going to try to get me on a show as soon as possible. And the show that came up was the Olympus show on the 9th of May. Anthony Franklin, does it? Anthony, yeah. That's who runs that. And but then again, unfortunately, due to the current situation, the show got cancelled. But hopefully, look, I'm sure he'll have it on as soon as we're good, as soon as everything's clear, and I'll be straight back on. Same opponent. I'm easy, like, you know, and just get straight into it.
Yeah. Is that something you've, obviously, I know you probably have always been looking to go pro anyway, but Is it something you kind of worked towards your coach? Have you been like prompting him, saying, you know, can I go yet? Or is it just a case of waiting for your coach to advise you?
At the start, I came from like a taekwondo and kickboxing background. So when I started in MMA, to be honest, like, I thought it was going to be a case of a month or two and straight into the cage, a month or two of grappling, and I'll be good to go because of my level of striking. Turns out it was not that easy with everything going on. It took months, which is natural enough. So I remember at that time, I was sort of like, you know, to Chris, I was hounding them then about getting my first amateur fight. Like, I was like, any fights. And he was just, I was sort of like, oh, come on, I need to fight. He waited till the time was right, put me in. And then it was only when I looked back. So when I had my first amateur fight and my first couple of amateur fights, it was when I looked back to the times I was thinking I wanted to fight. I was like, Jesus Christ, I would have been murdered like on the ground. I was not ready for that. So then I was like, okay. So when I was competing as an amateur sort of in 2019, I was like, I'm not even going to be asking Chris about pro. It's whenever he thinks, because he got it spot on with the amateur. I was like, he'll get it right with the pro. And I think he did. I didn't get a chance yet to show that I'm ready, but I've no doubt I am, and we'll see it at my pro debut.
Yeah. And obviously, it's a shame that everything's happened May. What are we on now? March, April, May. So you would have been 2 months, maybe 10 weeks out from getting ready for that. What do you think your plan is now? Obviously, you can't go to the gym. You keep putting your running up.
Running. I have weights and stuff down the back of my shed. My dad like built a squat rack down there, and just we have a bar and plate. So I'm keeping up a lot of strength work and stuff like that. My brother Ryan, like, you know, we've been our main training partners for years, like right through up since we're 6-7 years of age. So we have pads and shields and stuff like that. So we've bit of space out our back garden, thankfully. So we're doing a bit of that. So it's not the end of the world. It's not ideal session. It's not ideal in that we're not getting in with all the team out in Team KF, like getting all our positional sessions, sparring sessions, but we're making do. And hopefully when this blows over, we'll be sharp and ready to get straight back into things.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned there just about training with your brother and that. Is it something you've always kind of both of you kind of fell into, or is it something your parents got you into, or what's the score with that?
Yeah, so I've an older brother as well, then Alex. So 3 boys, 2 brothers I have. So yeah, we've been in martial arts now. Next year it'll be 20 years. It was 2001 we started. Again, my dad wanted us to get into some type of boxing, kickboxing, taekwondo, whatever it was. Yeah. And then we were showing an interest in it, just watching all the movies and stuff like that, you know, back in the day. And he sourced a local club. We went from there and then never really looked back. It was just, ever since then, like, I've never not been training martial arts. Like, I've always, even when I was a kid playing football and hurling and doing swimming or whatever else, I always had my taekwondo or kickboxing, like, at least once or twice a week. And then that's when it started to get serious then when I was about 15, 16.
Yeah, that's good. Because it's pretty rare, isn't it? I mean, I'm 33. So when I was growing up, I only heard about MMA about maybe 5-10 years ago, whereas people now, young age, it's only gonna get bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's funny. I've been saying this for a while, and my brother Ryan actually only said it to me a while back. That he said something that Joe Rogan said, I think, in one of his podcasts. So, like, you know, I think back in the day it was always traditional martial arts. So, like, there was, well, you know, where I'm sort of from anyway, there was always like a karate club, a taekwondo club, a boxing club, whatever, that sort of thing. But I think now, so what you're saying there, the last couple of years, there's MMA clubs and stuff. I think that might sort of be the future of martial arts, like that. Yeah. You won't have, oh no, that's a karate club, that's where they train karate and nothing else. Or that's a taekwondo club and they train taekwondo and nothing else. It's going to be like maybe a striking gym or a grappling gym where they train judo, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, whatever it is. Or that even still an MMA gym where everything is under the one roof. They've got their different coaches and you can learn all arts under the one roof. That's what I'd like to see anyway. And I do think that's where it's going.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like I say, you don't see many like goalkeeping clubs or striker clubs or left winger clubs. Exactly. You need to just get it all under one roof. And then I think the country will grow in general if we get onto that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but even like I can see it now. So I obviously still keep in touch with like taekwondo and stuff like that. That's where I came from. And I teach my own taekwondo club now. And again, it's a taekwondo club, but I've actually, like, I've named it, so the area I'm from is Whitehall. It's Whitehall Martial Arts, because, like, we do, whether I like it or not, we incorporate methods from kickboxing, from boxing, like from sport karate, into the taekwondo sparring. So it's very rare now, I think, you can maybe look at a taekwondo fighter or a kickboxer and say that, oh no, he's a kickboxer, he's a taekwondo fighter. The styles are so blurred now.
Yeah,
I think it's good. It's great for the standard and stuff like that. Everyone's dipping into each art and taking out bits and pieces, and it's, I just think the standard is just going up and up from it, and it's great to see.
Yeah, it needs to happen. I mean, predominantly people are going for self-defense as well. A lot of, like, parents will be thinking, get the kids in it, like, say, boxing or taekwondo, but the actual reason is a bit of self-defense. And if you only know one form of martial art, and, like, say, there's people who are training all four or five of them, then you're not going to stand
That's
a chance,
it.
Are you? You've got to incorporate it.
Yeah, everything's got its strengths and weaknesses, like, you know, each art. And I've had experience in, I've trained in a lot of the different martial arts now, and I've experienced the strengths and weaknesses of each one. So, like, for example, before I started doing any type of grappling, like, I've never really done any ground fighting. So if I found myself in a situation on the street where a lad who plays rugby and he's 100 kilos throws me on the ground and starts thumping the head off me, like, I wasn't really going to be able to do much. Like, you know, all my spinning back kicks and everything I like to do is sort of gone out the window there. Like, so that's even helped me confidence wise and stuff like that from a self-defense point of view, that now I have a level of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and that in a self-defense situation, I can sort of handle myself wherever it goes. Like, you know,
yeah, definitely. Speaking about spinning back kicks, hashtag spinish it.
Spinish it. Yeah, I have to credit Ian for that. He came up with that, Ian Gary. So, yeah, we like our spinish it, like, you know. So, again, it's something new. Like, you know, a lot of people don't really use it that much. It's becoming more popular. And, like, it's actually funny that when I was competing in taekwondo and kickboxing, like, I wouldn't have been really known for my spinning stuff there. I think because it's so common, it's like, you know, everyone can sort of do it. So I would have been much more known for, like, my front leg and even my hands. And now that I'm sort of gone into MMA, now I'm actually reverting back to all that spinning stuff. The stuff that I was like, oh, geez, I'm actually all right at this stuff. But I just never really used it in taekwondo. Like, it just, I didn't really have to, and I didn't really like this. So, but now it's working really well in MMA. And, like, when I had a few K1 fights, it's working a treat there. So you're going to see some good stuff now once I turn pro, and looking forward to that.
Well, like I say, if it works, and why not use it? I don't think even people were using front kicks for years in the early days.
Yeah. I actually saw there the other night. Did you watch Cage Warriors last night?
Yeah, I watched it last night, yeah.
Mason Jones was throwing a few spinning back kicks and stuff like that against Joe.
Yeah.
And, like, there are other people trying it. Obviously, Barboza and stuff in the UFC likes to throw it a lot. Like, but I think people are starting to cop on, and there's going to be more and more people doing it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you're not going to be doing much two-hour training now, but when you do, are you more of a sparer? Are you a strong believer in sparer, or do you not really like to get the full contact?
I do like to spar. Now, out in KF and stuff there, we don't, like, box the head off each other, like, you know, but we get our proper rounds in, like, once a week minimum, and then even during the week, then we'd be doing, like, kickboxing rounds, and obviously you're jiu-jitsu rounds and stuff. But I love even just doing and I'm a big believer in this, and I find it works for me, like, even just flow rounds of sparring, where, like, all right, it's not 100%, we're not absolutely lettering each other, but it's free, and just doing, like, round after round, just trying stuff out and making mistakes, like, trying stuff, and then you start to learn different pathways then to things. So it's something I didn't strike in for years, and I'm trying to do it now in grappling. Chris encourages a lot. Like, he just goes, just start figuring out your own pathways to, let's say you like a guillotine. Like, start playing around with how you're going to get there, jumping on it in different positions. So I'm doing that more and more now, and it's helping my grappling. So,
yeah.
See how
obviously, you need to have a good team around you to do that as well, because, you know, if you've got, there's a lot of level of trust in that. If you know you're going to be going at 60-70%, and then some idiot comes in trying to knock your head off, and you're not going to be too pleased about it.
That's it. Now, at the same time, like, you know, if anybody is, let's say, at that carry-on where it's not supposed to be full on, and somebody comes in swinging, everyone is well within their rights, and they're told to clip him back. Like, you know, it's like, cause you can't be at that. Like, you know, especially with the small gloves. Like, you know, if you have them small gloves on, and maybe you're trying to work on something, or you're trying, and then say somebody comes in bombing, like, you know, they deserve to be clipped around the chin for that one. Anyway, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Do you and your brother ever get a bit too deep into it?
Of course. Yeah, it's been happening for years. Like, it'll be just, and again, I think it happens nearly from a lack of communication. Like, you know, let's say if I don't know, could have done leg day the day before, my legs are sore and I'm starting to spar him, and in my head I want to go, like, let's say it's like, all right, I'm just gonna sort of take an easy round here, and he's let's say in his head he's like, nah, I'm up for it tonight, I'm gonna go sort of go nice and hard, and then I get thick or whatever. But it's all good. It's we'll always touch up after, and it's grand, and we'll discuss our spars and we give each other feedback, and so yeah, it's a bit of crack though.
Yeah, it must be great having a brother, like you say, doing the same as you, and both working with each other, because, you know, it's part of your life, and you've got someone close to you as well, so even when you're not in the gym and you're at home, it must make a big difference to having someone like that with you.
Definitely, yeah. Like, we know each other so well, and like, from a fighting aspect, like, if I'm watching his fights, like, I'd know what he's going to throw before he does. Like, you know, you can nearly just tell by the way he's standing. He's the same with me. So it's good that way, like, that when we're doing, let's say, fight reviews, or we have a fight and we're looking back, we can say, oh, do you remember you always used to throw this type of shot? Like, it might have been 3 years ago, so maybe you need to start bringing that back in. And so it's nice to have that even on top of them, what we're getting off the likes of Chris and stuff. Like, it's cool that way. My dad as well is really interested. Like, my dad, he traveled the world with us for years when we were doing Taekwondo and kickboxing, and he still watches all our fight. And he has a really good brain for it, although he did boxing when he was a kid, but he never actually did anything else. But there's times, like, and he knows the sport just from watching it for so long, so we'll actually have a good input on what should be done in a particular situation. So we always like to include him when we're watching back videos and stuff, and then he tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, so that always helps.
Yeah. So what made you do the transition from going from Taekwondo to MMA? Did you both do it together at the same time, or?
Yeah, we did it together. We both won the world championships in 2017, and that was my second one to win. In my second Worlds, it was his first, and we had won the Europeans that year as well, along with a rake of other stuff. And we just decided, like we still, like I said, I'm teaching the Taekwondo club, trying to bring the next generation through, still very much involved with it. But from a competitive point of view ourselves, MMA was starting to really boom onto the scene here with Conor McGregor and stuff. It's all anybody was talking about, like all our mates and stuff. So we're sort of going, hold on a minute, like, you know, let's get in on this. It seems to be the in thing at the moment. And I really fancied myself in the striking department. Like, when I was watching other lads in MMA, like, I'd consider myself better than them when I was watching. So it's like, right, so I can learn this grappling side of things. Like, we should be able to make a good stab at it. So, 2 years later, here we are, me about to turn pro. Ryan has to finish out college. He'll be finished in May, and he'll be turning pro then too. And we'll see what happens from there.
Nice. You're doing much BJJ as well?
Yeah. And like we have Tom King out there in KF, like, and he's a wizard at the jiu-jitsu, you know. So it's great to pick his brain about things. And there's a lot of serious grapplers out there, so we love just immersing ourselves in that. And then even from a non-competitive point of view, of course we have to learn it. Like, I actually really enjoyed and still enjoy being a white belt again and starting from scratch and, like, you know, just leaving everything else at the door and learning new martial art. It's been very, very enjoyable, like, you know, and it helps me then, I find, in my teaching, when I'm teaching up on my own Taekwondo club, like, with the kids, like, I remember what it's like to not have a clue what's going on. Like, it's so long since I learned all that stuff. It's, like I said, it's nearly 20 years. So it's great to sort of be like, oh yeah, well, this is what it's like to be really stuck or whatever, and helps me break things down when I'm trying to teach. And so it's positives every way, like, you know.
Yeah, like I say, you'll be learning stuff every week anyway. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. There's always something new to learn, isn't there?
Do you do a bit of training in jiu-jitsu?
No, I've not. I'm going to be starting doing.
You should, yeah, deadly.
I know, yeah. Well, I've always had trouble with my weight. I've always been proper scrawny, proper, like, proper thin guy. So I've never been confident enough to actually go and do anything. But for the last year, I've been working on it, and I'm at a decent weight now. I've not actually got any excuses. I used to work away for 7 years. So leaving
you, where were you working?
Electrician. So I used to cover the UK, Scotland, England, Ireland, Northern Ireland. Literally about 7-8 years. So even if I wanted to, you can't do it. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't commit any time. But since I've been doing this with MMA UK, it's like, gotta start getting in there now. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. And I'd say it'll be a lot, like, it'll be really enjoyable for you then as well. Like, if so, when you're watching fights or you're starting to watch particular fighters, like, if you know what you're looking at, and then, like, you'll be able to feel it out yourself in your training, and I'd say it'll make it really interesting for you. Like, so I'd encourage you to do it. Savage.
Yeah, definitely be doing it. Like, that Budo I saw you, that was my first post fight interview. Do you know what I mean?
Was it?
Yeah.
No way. I didn't know that. Well, geez, you didn't seem that way anyway. It seemed natural enough. So,
yeah, first time at an amateur event. I literally discovered UFC about 5 years ago maybe. I literally got hooked. It was Anderson Silva against Bisping, the first thing I watched. So
that's,
you know,
fight.
Exactly.
That's a good fight to get you hooked.
Exactly. That's class, literally not missed a UFC event live since that. Main nights, every single one. Stay up watching them. I used to work nights as well, so it's kind of like normal time for me.
What's your favorite fight since starting to watch?
What's that, sorry?
What's your favorite fight since starting to watch it, or in the last 5 years?
Gotta be Anderson Silva Bisping for me.
Still your favorite, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it got me into it, but I'm surprised. That Budo was my first amateur event. So since that, I've not hardly watched UFC. I'm proper into this local amateur stuff now.
Yeah,
not even amateur, even the pros as well. It's all new to me. It's not really something advertised. Loads of people I know still asking me what MMA stands for. Do you know what I mean?
Really, yeah.
So now I'm getting into the actual, like, UK world of it. I'm absolutely loving it. I've not got time for the UFC now. I'm just loving watching all the local stuff.
That's it, yeah. And you'll be able to say, when the lads make it big, then you'll be able to say you're watching them from the start. Like.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. That's class. For me, I watched Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz today. Hadn't seen that fight in a long time. But it's probably one of the best performances in the UFC.
That was an amazing fight.
Ah, Jesus. Cody didn't put a foot wrong for the whole fight. Like, he was unbelievable. And then to do it against an opponent like Dominic Cruz was savage. It was good to watch that back. A few little points. His hands were unreal. Like, so I'd like to watch that.
Some of the stuff he was doing, you couldn't even make it up, could you? Started doing some dancing in there and everything.
Yeah. He made a show of him. Like, and I like Cruz. I like the two of them as fighters, like, you know, but he upped the level there. He really got into his groove. Like, it was good to see that.
Yeah, shame he couldn't do the same against Dillashaw, but...
That's the thing. I think his emotions get the better of him then in some of his fights. Like, you know, he just starts swinging, like, which is... obviously, it's a skill in itself, you know, being able to control the emotional side. And maybe if he gets that back, who knows what he'd be able to do. But something you should try and address for sure.
Yeah, that's another thing I'd be worried about. Like I say, you've got to try and stay cool. If someone hits you, it's like I say, it's one thing being it. It's another thing being able to not lose your temper, I suppose, because you're just not going to get anywhere, are you?
Exactly. Against a good fighter, you'll be exposed big time. You'll get clipped again. So, just about sort of holding yourself and keep your composure and wait for your moment. And if you really want to get back at them, do it then when the time is right. But until then, be smart, be calculated, yeah.
Yeah. Do you do any meditation or anything like that? Or
not really, actually.
What psychology?
Not like I did sports science in college. So, like, we had one or two modules of sports psychology in that. So, like, I do, like, visualization and stuff when I have a fight coming up. Especially in the fight week and maybe even the week before, like, I just try to visualize the day from waking up to going to the venue, just hanging around the dressing room, starting to put my gear on, warming up, walking out, and then the fight itself. But not meditation or anything like that. I know a lot of people do Headspace and stuff like that. And they get these apps to be honest, it's just something I've never tried. I wouldn't rule it out at all, sometimes I can be I'd be busy enough with running the club and then when I was in college and stuff like that. So I'd often get not stressed, but like a lot of things be getting on top. Like, so it'd be no harm to try some of that and see if it worked anyway.
Yeah, I fancy doing one of them isolation chambers and that, but I don't think there's any near me for doing that stuff.
Is that, wait, is that the flow therapy thing? Is that,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm noticing loads of people doing that again. Like, sometimes I like to talk as well, like, you know, so just sitting for an hour on my own, I probably start to crack up, like, but then...
Five minutes,
I know, I'm cracking up. Yeah, you just want to just have a chat with someone. So, but no, I wouldn't rule it out again, like, and just try it as a method of recovery. Like, I'm... For at the moment for recovery, like, I don't implement any special methods. I sort of just like recover well in terms of eat well, hydrate, like take my rest days when appropriate, but I don't sort of do like any ice baths or anything like that. A lot of the evidence on them, it's like a lot of it is like just psychological and placebo effect. That's what I've heard anyway. Like, there's very little concrete scientific evidence on any of that stuff. But I suppose even if the placebo effect works, if you feel great after doing a float or after doing an ice bath, keep doing it. Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What was your favorite fight from last night, Cage Royce?
I liked the funky shorts with
Stephen Mabel.
Stephen Mabel. Yeah.
Amiable, is it? How do you say his name?
Amiable. Yeah.
Amiable. Steve Amiable. I thought he was robbed.
Yeah, I think he should have had that. I think it was 29, 28 to him for definite. But definite. It was a great fight.
Yeah. It was a very good fight. It was probably actually fight of the night.
Yeah.
Or else, Darren O'Gorman, and who was your man he fought? What's his name again?
Oh, mate. Don't hit me on names. I'm rubbish with names. I'm in the wrong game.
Yeah, red-haired fella.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, can't remember his name.
A brilliant fight. Brilliant way to come back as well.
Got out of that triangle.
I'm going to get his name up now. I feel bad for being... I'm so rubbish with names, mate. I'm in the wrong job. Really am.
I know his second name begins with E and his first name could be James. That's all I know. I'm not 100% sure.
But I can't believe he got the win out of that because his numbers was done with, weren't they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Here, I'm no expert on jiu-jitsu, but like, and even I was chatting to a few lads from the club as well, but I thought he should have just been trying to make the angle, like, you know, he should have been underhooking your man's leg and making the angle and get a squeeze on it, but...
I was tapping for him for the little arm bars.
He seemed to be wanting to go for the armbar, yeah, but fair play to your man for landing that peach of a shot in the third round. Anyway, he was some goal.
Yeah, there was. He wasn't getting up from that. Referee did a good job stopping him as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's a good point. Obviously, you have views when referees are stopping it and all that. When you're actually in there, what's your take? I'm guessing you're not bothered whether the referee wants to stop you or not. But when you look back, are you thinking, you know, there's more to life than getting the W?
Yeah, well, like in my last fight, I thought the ref was he was very like a bit. Lean, like I was pounding your man for most of the fight, and especially at the end of the second round at one stage, I was in mount and I was landing like big shots and a lot of shots, and the ref didn't stop it. Like he took damage in that fight, like, you know, now, like, I'm sure he's all right now and stuff, but at the time, now this was me personally, like, I don't really think about should the ref be stopping it or not, like, it's just like a bit of a killer instinct, like, you know, and I think if you haven't really got that, you're in a little bit of bother. So for me, it was just go more and more until the ref did eventually stop it. In my fight before that, then I caught the guy with a head kick and he fell, and it was just a case of like two hammer fists, and the ref was straight in. I had a feeling he would be, but I don't really think about it too much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just go with the flow.
Just keep going, like, you know, you have to.
I'm surprised they didn't stop you with your eye, to be honest. That was bad as well, but
That was bad. Like, you
got
know,
through it.
Luckily, yeah. That's, I remember one stage, Chris was like roaring at me just to keep it open or whatever, just so it wouldn't be stopped or whatever. But I was lucky in that sense. But thankfully, everything turned out all right. Got the win. Just on to the next one now. Like, whenever it'll be.
Yeah. So do you travel quite a lot still, I take it, then, just going wherever the fights are, pretty much?
Yeah, go wherever the fights are. Like, again, I'll just wherever Chris has a lot of contacts and stuff in Ireland and the UK. So wherever he gets us matched, we'll go. Like, you know, I like the travelling ones in the sense that, like, if I see myself in the UFC one day and stuff, and the majority of all your fights there, you're going to have to travel for. unless you're obviously lucky and it comes back to Ireland or whatever, but that's once in a blue moon. So I sort of like to get used to just the whole formality of turning up to the airport while you're cutting weight and being in a hotel room and having to manage your nutrition and hydration out of a hotel room and stuff like that. And again, it's something I did when I was competing in the taekwondo and kickboxing, like competing everywhere around the world. So I am sort of used to it. So that side of it's good, but in saying that, nothing like sort of just jumping in your car on Saturday morning, drive up north, have a fight and come home, like, you know, right? And you're in your own bed both nights, the night before and the night after, like, you know, that's sort of good as well. But realistically, it's not where I want to end up, like, you know. I want to see myself fighting abroad and over in the States, like, you know, that's the goal. And so it's good to get used to that now at the early level.
Yeah, if you're saying, you know, if you see yourself being in UFC, if you already kind of got a bit of a path or even put your map out on how you want to get there?
Yeah, so like Cage Warriors route for sure, like that at the moment from me looking in, it just seems the most honest route, the most proven route, the sort of just the best route to go and test you the best. So that's the route I would like to go. And but in terms of like me sort of on what I'm visualizing now and stuff, my goals, like, of course, so my end goal is, yeah, all right, let's say it's UFC champion. It is, like, everybody's is. But I don't really think about that much at the moment. I try not really think about the UFC because I can't even really begin yet to, not that I can't begin to visualize it, but like, I don't really know the goings on of the UFC, what it's like on fight week and the running of it. But for Cage Warriors, I see Ian Garry and I see James Webb. I've been with them in their fight weeks. I've been over to loads of the Cage Warriors shows. So like, that's I have to get there first before I even start thinking about kickboxing rounds. And obviously you're get the Cage Warriors, win that belt, and then I'll start worrying about UFC. Like, that's going to be a task in itself. And but I can really visualize that happening because I see the fighters there on Cage Warriors. I see what happens in fight week. I see how the promotion is run. So for me, that's the goal. Get there as soon as possible. Get the strap, UFC.
Nice. Do you think there's anyone in Cage Warriors at the minute that might, it's going to be a real big challenge to you? Obviously, everyone's a challenge. I know everyone will say I can beat everyone, but everyone is a challenge. It's still 50-50 when you get in there. Is there anyone that you can see that might be the biggest challenge for you at the moment?
Like, in the lightweight division, like, it is good at the moment, but like, none of them lads, like, even from last, like, I had huge eyes on the show last night, like, the top four. What sort of top four lads in the group, maybe taking Desme out of it, like, I know he wasn't on last night, but they were four good lightweights on the show last night. And like, there was none of them that I was watching that I was like, oh, like, I'd have real problems with them or anything, or I'd really struggle with that aspect. Like, all of them I would consider myself to be a better striker than. And then I suppose Paddy's grappling is fairly good, like, you know, so give me a bit more time there, and I've no doubt, like, all them lads I would be able to beat eventually. They're, like I said, they're all good lads, they're solid lads, but there's nobody where I'm like, oh Jesus, I'd be really stuck with them, you know. It can be comfortable enough, and especially give me another year and easily, yeah, for sure, I'd be comfortable against them all, I think.
Nice. So I might be seeing you in Cage Warriors pro event next year if we're lucky, maybe the year after.
Yeah. Maybe this year, I know it's a bit fecked now with all the coronavirus and stuff, but like, I had my eye on all the Irish shows, like, you know. I suppose the plan for me, like, you know, would have been fighting Olympus and maybe something else if I had to, and then be getting on that Cage Warriors Cork show in July or Cage Warriors in Belfast in September. But so like I said, it's all a bit up in the air at the moment. So all I can sort of do is keep training and be ready when the time comes. But definitely the goal would be to be on a Cage Warriors show this year, and then big year next year, and I'm sure the belt would come soon enough after that. But like I said, I'll focus on getting to the promotion first before I start talking shit or calling people out. Yeah. That's, I never really got that, and I never like, you know, somebody right down the bottom of the ladder calling out for the lads at the top, like it's fairly pointless, like, you know. I have to just be whoever's put in front of me at the moment, build my record up, get a bit of stock to me, and then I could talk about calling out the other lads. But until then, I'll sort of just bide my time.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it, because like you say, you don't want to you don't want to look like a dickhead either, do you? Do you know what I mean?
You know, like, it's just a bit stupid, like, you know. But like I said, I do keep an eye on the top end of the division, because that's where I like to see myself going. So it's good just to watch it and see who's there, see what they're doing, see what the styles are, because who's to know? Some of them might be moved on by the time I get there. Some of them could be still around if injuries or whatever debilitated them. So no harm to start just planning for that, like, you know.
Yeah. So obviously, James Webb, saw James Webb a couple of weeks ago. A nice win against Stanton. Does that give a big boost to the gym?
Yeah. Do you know what? The atmosphere in that gym, it's special, like, you know. And I've been around a lot of gyms through taekwondo, kickboxing, and I'm actually very lucky in that the club I trained with in taekwondo and then the club I trained with in kickboxing had a very similar atmosphere to it, and I do think that's why I was successful in both them sports, and that's why I think I'll be successful in MMA, because you just not went, like, I love going to training, hanging with the lads. Like, even if I'm injured or if I can't train, I'll still go just go out and watch, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because number one, I pick things up from Chris or Tom demonstrating. And number two, it's a bit of crack just seeing the lads and stuff. But yeah, like when James won last week, for example, like everyone's just straight into the group. Well done, James. Everyone's just really buzzing for him, like, you know, and just see him pushing on. Because realistically, like, James leading from the front as well. Like, he's the highest sort of, he's competing at the highest level out of the group. So he's leading the way, like, you know. Yeah. Well, then again, Chris is coming back now. So Chris is up there with him, the two of them just leading from the front. So it's great to have it, them leading by example, training alongside them, seeing what it requires to reach that level. So all we have to do is go and do it. We have the easy job, me and the rest of the lads. Like, you know, they're paving the way. We just have to keep the head down and get the job done.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm very surprised. Obviously, I'm recent into this world of MMA now. I'm really surprised at how humble and genuine everyone seems to be, because before it all, you kind of think, oh, it's going to be full of thugs, load of rough and ready lads who are just knobheads, to put bluntly. And I'll tell you what, I've generally not met one knobhead yet, like, everywhere I've been. But it's really nice to see that it's just genuine people.
That's it. And like, whenever I'd be talking to people, it could be family, it could be other people, like, who I'm just telling them about what I do, or they ask me what I do and I say MMA, like, a lot of the time the reaction is, oh, like, you know, and sort of, what are you involved in that type of stuff for? But like, yeah, I'm always very quick to tell them and to explain to them that, like, literally you couldn't meet nicer people. That's my opinion. Yeah. Anyway, and like that with you, like what you were saying there, out in Team KF, I haven't met anyone who I'm like, I don't like when they're around or whatever. Like, everyone is just dead on, you know. It's savage. But everyone just, most people now just seem to want to get down, train, fight, and that's it. Like, you know, just down to air people.
Yeah, it's really good. And like you say, I think maybe because it is a martial arts background, and martial arts predominantly is very about respect, and teaches you all them other disciplines as well. So maybe that's part of it as well. Do you know what I mean?
I notice this when I look at I wouldn't know many of the gyms in the UK. Well, I know some of the lads and over there, and I know some gyms, but when I look around the gyms in Ireland, it seems to come from the top down in gyms. So when you look at the coach, when you look at the fighters, you'll normally get a reflection of their coach, and vice versa. When you look at the coach, it will reflect their fighters. Like I know like I said, in Team KF and in my kickboxing taekwondo gyms, like, the coaches, Chris, Tom, Robbie, who are trained with in kickboxing, and Niall Jones in taekwondo, like, they just didn't take shit. Like, you know, if anybody stepped out of line, put something up online that they shouldn't have, like, you get a phone call straight away being like, take that down or whatever. And like, so, because you are representing them at the end of the day, so I think it's important for them that everyone's sort of playing by the rules and acting accordingly, like, because it's their gym that's on the line, their reputation of their gym, you know.
Yeah,
it's great to see. Like,
so what do you think is going to be coming up for James next? Have you obviously, I don't want you to say anything you shouldn't be saying, like, but
yeah, to be honest, I actually haven't been speaking to James about, I haven't seen him since with all this coronavirus stuff, but just off me personally, you have to just get another go at the title if you wanted it, I would say. I don't know what the story is. Suppose, like, isn't Natias, he's supposed to be fighting in April.
Yeah, well, but should probably have been, yeah.
Probably won't be happening at this stage. So I would say the if Natalya's had a one, that would be what, his first title defense, depending on whether he got signed or not. If he did get signed to the UFC, it would have to be James and the next person fighting for that belt. And if he didn't, then James would definitely be in line for the trilogy then. Because, again, in my opinion, James won the first fight between him and that. Look back on it, like the control and everything, like that's not me being biased. I did think James won that fight. And then obviously Natalya's clearly won the second fight. So a trilogy, I think, is on the table.
Do you ever get to speak to many?
To get there, jumping on it in different.
To try and get a grasp of what they're looking for?
Not really. Chris does talk to them the odd time and he feeds it back to us. But like, I think the general consensus seems to be, and whenever even I hear people talking about it, I think it nearly varies from like promotion to promotion in terms of what they're scoring. And because I'd often look at a fight, let's say in Cage Warriors, and a decision will go one way, and then you see it in the UFC and a similar scenario might have played out and it'll go the other way. Yeah. Like, I think the way it is at the moment, the scoring is quite subjective. Like, so there's not a sort of proper criteria. So that stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's natural enough for it to happen. I know a lot of people are calling for the scoring system to be changed, but personally, I actually don't really see a problem with it. I think if they go trying to change it too much, it could really turn it into a sport, that type of thing. And it could really just change it up a bit. I think at the moment it's a fight, leave it that way and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you think the judges would come and speak to you. Like, sometimes you have the referees come and speak to you before the fight and, you know, give you a fair take, what they want you to do, what they don't want you to do. Might be an idea of them for the judges to come in and just be like, look, this is what we're looking for. But I suppose it just gets too confusing then, doesn't it? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to leave it to the judges, do you?
So, yeah, the plan is go in there, finish the person and get out. Like, but obviously then when you have two really evenly matched guys or whatever, two high-level guys, of course there are going to be decisions, especially in a 3-5, especially an amateur, 3-3s. Like, yeah, you've only 9 minutes. Then you go to pro, all right, you have more, you have 15 minutes. But yeah, some of them lads, obviously if two guys know each other really well, it might be a little bit of a stalemate and it is going to go to the judges. So I suppose everybody does have to be on the same page as to who gets it. And then I suppose, isn't there the other thing that, like, if a judge... Like, me personally, I could be watching a fight alongside one of the lads in the gym who's a grappler. And we could be watching a particular fight, and I'll be favouring the striker because I'm a striker. Like, you know, yeah, and that's my background. And he'll be favouring the grappler because that's what he prefers. So there's always going to be that aspect to it too. Maybe your own background as a judge is going to determine what you're sort of leaning towards or what you're looking towards. And that's just part of the game, I think. It's just, you know, going to have to get on with that.
Something you got to get on with. Obviously, with you going pro now, what are the, apart from the level of competition, what are the main changes for you going pro? I know elbows.
Elbows, knees to the head, 3 5-minute rounds, 4 ounce gloves. Is there anything else?
I think foot stomps. I don't think you can do foot stomps, can you, in amateur?
See, this is a grey area, I think, because I remember when I fought, when did I fight? It would have been March last year. It was on the it was on a Cage Warriors card. I fought with Marcus Lewis, and I won one of the fights. He won one of the fights, and like, he foot stamped me to bits. I couldn't walk for a few days after, and I was like, "That's a great tactic." Like, you know it. So I start, like, in the gym, obviously I don't stamp a lad's feet. I stamp the floor, like, you know, just sort of drilling it into my head. So in my last fight then, the one in Budo, so I had your man.
Was it that? That's the one where I forgot it was you. I remember seeing recently, you were told not to do it.
Yeah, so I started stamping the feet and the ref shouted at me saying no foot stamps, but I've definitely seen it. Like I said, it happened to me in one of my fights. And like, I remember during the fight, I had one of them little light bulb moments. I was like, fuck, I was like, foot stamps are good. Like, I'm going to start doing these more because I was getting pounded by by the foot stamps. So yeah, it's something that I have seen in some amateur fights. And then, so when I was doing that and the ref told me not to do it, I was a bit like, what? But look, pro now, I'll definitely be using them because they're very effective. It makes you move when you don't want to move. So yeah, foot stamps, elbows, knees to the head, 3 5-minute rounds and 4 ounce gloves. So there's a few little adjustments. I've already started incorporating like some flying knees and elbows and stuff like that on pads. So it'll be nice to see if they come out. Grappling in the 4 ounce gloves is a little bit different. Actually, haven't really started doing that yet. I must start. And then my conditioning, like, I've just sort of, my conditioning in my last fight was pretty good for the 5 threes. So I've just sort of just constantly, the way I look at conditioning, it should always be getting better. Like, you know, should always be just pushing up and up and up. So I'm sure I'll be in great shape come the time when I have to do the 3 fives, see what happens.
Might see some hashtag flying shit.
There'll be flying shit and spinny shit. Yeah, there'll be a bit of everything. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's cool. It just adds in that extra, making it just closer and closer to a fight. Like, you know, it's great. I think it's cool. Like, and just what I love as well. So for years fighting in martial arts, like kickboxing, taekwondo stuff, like there's a lot of rules in them arts, like a lot of rules, like you can't kick below the waist or you can't kick the back. There's just a lot of rules. So like, I think the idea of two people going in there with, of course there are rules in MMA, but with limited rules, not as much rules, and both people just trying to implement their game plans and seeing what works is great. Like, you know, I love that because, you know, a lot of people I think are often like like they love to see the skillful guys win out and skill will always be strength. Like, it's not always that way. Like, you know, and that's me. I would consider myself to be a skillful fighter and use that approach. But like, I love then the challenge of going in there against a lad who might only be training for 2 years and he's got a bomb of an overhand right on him, but that's it. And I have to overcome that. Like, you know, and like on paper, it should be like, the skillful black belt in a martial art will win. That's what's supposed to happen. But it doesn't always go that way. Look in the UFC, you see lads sort of going in there sometimes with bellies on them and they just chin someone. Like, you know, just with a, like, yeah, what's his name? Derek Lewis. Like, he's, do you ever see him? Like, you know, if you're to, the whole sort of perception of martial arts is that he shouldn't be winning. It's all about skill and technique. Yeah. And like I said, I love that. But then I love the idea of, no, a banger can go in there and just take you off the map with an overhand right. And that's the way it is. So you have to then really show your skills. If your skills are really good, then yeah, you will be able to beat them. So that's what it's about. It's not just about using your skills in a competition where there's loads of rules. It's about using your skills where everything's off the table. Like, the gloves are off, in you go, your skills, and see how effective they are. So that's what I like.
Yeah. And like I say, with you mentioning Lewis, and he's actually having to start to implement other things. You can see he's working on other stuff because once people know that, you know, that's all, not all you've got, but that's your main weapon of choice, you've got to adapt anyway, regardless how good you are at it.
That's it, exactly. Like, you know, it's all about just, that's, we always try going from fight to fight, always adding stuff to your toolbox, like, you know, while making what you have better. And I suppose that's just the path everyone's on, isn't it? And then just see what happens and then fights and just go out and do your thing.
Do you do much prep work on the people, on your opponents? Is that something you work a lot on, or?
Not so much. Chris will do a little bit of video analysis and give me a little breakdown. But because, like, when I'd have been fighting in, like, sort of, you know, open competitions and stuff like that with taekwondo and kickboxing, like,
you don't know what your opponent is, do you?
You're going into a competition and there'll be 50, 60 people in the group, and you find out 2 days before who you've drawn. And, like, it could be somebody that you've come up against 3 times before, could be somebody who you've never heard of. They could end up being shit, they could end up being brilliant, you know? So I'm sort of quite used to sort of just being very confident in my own game plans and my own skill set, and having them sort of so well prepared, then I can adapt them to whatever's put in front of me. So grappler, wrestler, boxer, anybody, I'm confident. Like, you know, that's what I'm always striving for.
Nice. How do you keep the confidence up then? Because obviously you can't be 100% confident all of the time. So what do you do to kind of like psych yourself up at the times where you might not just be feeling it in that moment?
I suppose for me, you know, there's always doubts. The doubts will always creep in. Like, you know, have you done enough or whatever it is, or will it, how will this go? When that's sort of happening to me, I just sort of go, look, I'm sitting here in the dressing room. The fight's going to happen in half an hour. We'll see what happens when I get out there. Like, you know, like, I can, there's no point in fretting about it now or thinking about, oh, well, now if he comes out and does this, like, it's gonna happen now. In 20 minutes it's all gonna unfold and we'll just figure it out. Like, you know, that's, I do like to do that, because I've seen people and heard of people, like, you know, and whatever discipline of fighting it is, and there's a lot of, oh no, if he does this I'm gonna do that, and if he does this, and but oh yeah, no, I seen this last fight, he does this, like, the truth is you just don't know, like, you know, you just don't really know. The person could throw a complete curveball at you, so that's why I don't like to look too much detail into the videos. Have a little overview by all means of, yeah, he likes to do this, he likes to do that, but nothing too detailed. And then, like I said, as soon as the ref says fight, it's game on, figure it out from there.
Yeah, there's no point of trying to figure out the chess game without actually being in there, is it, until you're playing it?
Exactly. Like, you know, you can make all the predictions you want about what might happen, but, and I think then if you go in there, like in school, let's say over the years, I would have heard of this happen to lads, like, that you're just prepared for one particular, I don't know, if you're in English or something like that, a poet to come up or something, or a particular question, and then when that doesn't come up, they're going mad because that's all they prepared for. Whereas the person who sort of gets a bit prepared on each one, they're sort of ready for whatever comes up then. Like, you know, so I like to sort of think of fighting that way. Is try be prepared as well as you can for whatever, and then just deal with that when it comes out, because it's fighting at the end of the day. There's always going to be curveballs, supposed to be.
Yeah, probably the best way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. But what do you think of Tony and Khabib? What's going to happen there?
It's destiny. Destiny to never happen, mate.
Horrible.
Never happened. It's just not happening.
I know.
Don't know what they're going to do.
Has it been cancelled for sure? Like, is it definitely cancelled? Or
I think the event venue where we were supposed to be doing it, I think they've said it can't go ahead. But I don't think Dana's come out and said it's not cancelled. Said it's cancelled. So I don't know. I think we're probably going to try and make it happen, won't we? Even if it's on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, I saw Dana had that picture up there a while ago of, like, it was like a cage on the moon or something like that. Yeah. But, like, and again, like, that fight for me has everybody's interest. Like, it's the most anticipated fight in MMA history. But, like, for me, it is the two best lightweights in the world. Like, you know, ever. Ever. Like, it's the two best. And, like, they're going at it, like, you know, so it's going to be savage. Like, I think I am leaning towards Khabib. I used to be saying Tony. I used to think Tony. But, I think it's going to be Khabib.
I think I was surprised at how well Khabib dominated Conor as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like I say, we say styles might make fights, or certain styles can't beat other styles, but Khabib's just made it. He's proven time and again, hasn't he? But he's going to take something special to get through it.
He has, yeah. And if even in the I Quinta fight and in the Conor fight, and I think in a few of his other fights, like, he does, like, take sort of that third round off to try strike with the other person. Like, he likes the fact, like, I think I'm convinced he's just showing everyone, look, I can strike too. I know on the judges' scorecards, Conor won the third round, but, like, I definitely think it was a case of Khabib maybe going, all right, I'm after proving for two rounds I can out-wrestle you. Now I'm just going to strike with you. And he's not too concerned of losing the round, really, because if he does lose a round, then he just goes back to wrestling the fourth and fifth, you know? And then I'm sure, like, even when I practice it on the gym, wrestling isn't that, it's very taxing. Like, you know, it's not efficient. It's energy consuming. So he's probably just going, I'll take a little round after wrestling, do a bit of striking and see what I can come up with. And he seems to do all right each time, like, you know? So, I think he's a goat, like, you know.
It's a shame, like, he's been doing it his whole life, and it's a shame we don't have anything over here that's set into the school system with stuff like that, with wrestling or even boxing, even striking.
Even anything, yeah, it'd be good.
Just summit.
Yeah, a lot of the Eastern European countries, I know Poland and stuff like that, I think they had, like, taekwondo and stuff in their PE system in primary schools, and it would just, the talent pool then, imagine, because what happens here in Ireland anyway, there was figures for this set out a while ago, where somebody had some forecasted figures, I can't remember them, but, like, Gaelic football in Ireland is, like, it's like your religion, like, you know, especially in rural Ireland, like, everybody plays for their local team, so we're probably losing our top percentile of athletes to Gaelic football, like, you know, or hurling or something like that, and then even soccer, like, you know, just regular football, so, like, as you said, if there was martial arts implemented in the school education system, like, we could get some of them top athletes at their young age. Now, I don't believe in kids specializing in sport too early on. I do think you should be multi-sport up to a particular age. But imagine even just giving them the raw basics of a sport, like, you know, of an art, and these, like, genetically really good athletes, and then seeing what you produce. Like, now, like, that's what happens over in Russia and some of them Eastern European countries, because they're doing it from young age, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Both my lads do MMA. They absolutely love it. We're only 3 and 5. Yeah, no, swimming, football, and MMA.
That's brilliant.
He loves it. He watched a bit of Cage Warriors with me last night. He's only 5, but he wants to watch it, do you know what I mean? So I can't really say no. His mum's not too happy about it, but...
I'd imagine so. What's your local gym?
12 Gauge.
12 Gauge
MMA, yeah.
Is there any pro lads out of there?
Head coach, Matty Fort. Used to be pro, I don't think he fights anymore. But yeah, my lad does jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and then we do like a general MMA class as well, which is a bit more of a grappling side and stuff like that. And he absolutely loves it. He was crying the other night because it's closed. He's actually crying because it's closed down. He's only 5, which it's weird because I was never like that. I never got into stuff like that, and I've not really pushed him into this either. It's just something he's naturally wants to get into, which I think is pretty good.
That's silly, yeah, because, and that's the main thing, I think, at the kids' level, like, you know, some parents might want their child to do a particular sport. If they're loving it, if they're enjoying it, then that's half the battle, like, you know, once they're happy doing it, like, they'll excel at it, like, you know, and they'll give it their best. But, like, if they're being pushed into something, it's not going to be very enjoyable. Like,
yeah, I don't agree with that, because we do do a bit of sparring for the juniors as well. It's obviously juniors, so they're not, you know, kicking 10 bells out of each other. Pretty good sparring. And he's actually asked to start doing that, which I was quite surprised at, because I thought he might have shied away from it. So I'm going to let him do that. Again, if he wants to do it, he can do it. If he doesn't, I know his mum will be more than happy that he doesn't do it.
Yeah, and I'll look, see how he gets on. Just there's a few, we start the kids up in our taekwondo club at 4, like, you know, and...
Yeah.
4 to 6 year olds, we sort of just to do like a bit of body sparring and stuff like that. And then when they go 7, they start doing the full thing. And like that, some kids at the start, they're a little bit timid and they're not really too gone on it. And then give them a little while and they start to enjoy it. If they go to 1 or 2 competitions, take a medal, and they're loving it then, like, you know. And then they start to, as we were talking about earlier on, they start to sort of figure their own little style out, what they like to do, what they don't like to do. And then that's just the start then. Let them start learning, and there's your next batch of superstars. Like, you know, they are the future of any combat sport. Like, so it's good to see it from an early, early level. Like, you know,
I'm still trying to teach him about losing, because he hates losing.
Even
race up the stairs.
A bit of crack though.
Yeah, it must be great. All hell breaks loose if he loses. So I'm telling him, if he wants to start doing mixed martial arts and stuff, like, you're going to lose. You know, you need to lose to get better. He's not having it, but...
That's it. Competitions and stuff like that will really help that. Like, and that's why I know a lot of kids nowadays, anyway, I think, again, there was numbers released on this. Something they do, like, an individual sport and a team sport. It's recommended to do both because...
Like, I mean, a brother, like you say, doing the same.
If he loses in a team, or if kids, let's say, and if they're very talented, if they lose in a team, in a football team... It's very easy to just point the finger and blame. But in an individual sport, if they lose, they have to take the responsibility and they have to go, well, that was my fault because the other guy was better and I wasn't good at this, and then just go back to the gym and fix that. So even from a non-sporting perspective, like, the life lessons that I learned in both of them scenarios, and then when you win... in the team sports, you get to win as a team and celebrate as a team. So, like, it's brilliant, like, you know, to experience both, as I said, for life lessons going forward. Like, it's great for kids.
Yeah, it's doing the football as well. But 12K's got a brilliant program on as well for the kids, because we're doing it's a bit like homework, but not homework. We're doing, I think, every 8 weeks we change it up. So at the minute, it's about being courteous. Every day he's got to say, you know, if you open the door for someone, if you told your mum she looks nice today, and little things like that. Have you said hello to the lollipop lady, which I think is just brilliant. I think you're not going to get that in any other sports, really, are you?
No, it's teaching them stuff for outside the gym and outside the cage or a ring or whatever. So that's standing them tenfold down the line. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Obviously, gym's closing. Are you going to be doing any online stuff or anything like that?
Yeah, actually. So I'm doing it again for the Taekwondo club. I'm doing a class on Monday. A fellow I know, one of the local coaches, he's streaming stuff through his YouTube channel. But like in terms of MMA and stuff like that, like I hadn't thought about doing anything, but I am streaming stuff come Monday now for some of the kids just to do a bit of training in the sitting room or whatever. Because say, you know what, are you on lockdown yet over there? Are your kids still in school or what?
Kids have just been brought out now, so no school, no gyms, no
that way over
pleasures.
Here. 9 days, like, you know, so
oh, I'll be, yeah.
Yeah, it's 9 days. So wait, it's today Saturday. Yeah, so not Thursday gone, the Thursday before that, all the schools shut.
Right.
All the schools shut down. So like, I've been talking to a few of the parents. They're losing their minds, like, you know, because and the kids, they can't even go on. They're not even supposed to go playing with each other either, like, you know, because they can't be in contact. So it's tough, like, you know, it's all ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, ours are going to be doing online with Matty at 12 at the gym. Like they're doing some online stuff for him, which is good. I don't know what else we're going to be up to.
We know each other so well, and Have you got much garden space or anything like that?
Yeah, I got a big garden, so we're all right for that. Which we're lucky, you know, that is one lucky thing to have. I've got a big garden. We've been out in that today, and just don't know how long it's going to be. Is it going to be 3 weeks? Is it going to be 3 months? Is it going to be six months?
Having a clue. The cases. I know Italy are getting hockeyed out of it. They had like 6,000 new cases yesterday.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's madness. Jesus.
Are you much of a drinker?
I would after a fight or like whenever I would have had a big competition, I'd always just let the hair down a bit, have a few drinks. But I don't go mad on it. Like, well, when I'm over Christmas, I'll have a few, like, and enjoy myself. But usually throughout the year with training and fights, if I'm watching his fights, like, I know what he's going to. What about yourself?
No, I had a snowball at Christmas.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Brilliant.
I had a whiskey the other night, actually. Missus isn't coping well with all this shutdown stuff and everything that's going on. She's like, it's really getting to her. It's like, you know what, I'm having a drink, stuff it.
All the pubs are closed down over here as well.
Yeah, the pubs just shut last night. Hey. It was the last night, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's a big step. Like, when there's never been anything like that in Irish history anyway, to have to shut the pubs, like.
Yeah, it takes a lot for Ireland to shut the pubs down.
Ah, it's crazy. Yeah, nuts. But we'll have to see what happens anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy, mate. Been on an hour now, so I will let you go and do your thing.
Just, you know what? My battery is, this you have to notify me, there's only like 10%, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you go. Much appreciate you coming speaking to me, mate. I hope everything goes well for you. I'm definitely going to look out for your first pro fight, and hopefully you change his venue. You might be able to do it in Manchester so I can come and see you instead.
Definitely, man. Yeah, appreciate that. I'm sure I'll find myself over there at some stage, but appreciate you getting me on and having a chat. I really enjoyed it, and best of luck with everything in the future, and I'm sure I'll bump into you again soon.
Yeah, same to you, mate. All the best, and good luck with everything.
Cheers. Cheers. Nice one, Danny.
Cheers, man. You too, mate.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy, buddy. Bye.